If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Oh my, let us pray. God, give us hearts to know your love, ears to hear your whispers, eyes to see your glory, and lips to speak only your truth. Amen. Please. In our ecumenical lectionary group that we just started recently on Monday, we had the debate about whether to end this one with the gospel of the Lord. The good news seems at first glance to be hard to come by. We hear about cutting off limbs and how we're just terrible. But I think we have to go back a little bit to remember what Jesus is doing here. And I also got to admit that a lot of my friends I know are preaching Deuteronomy today, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm still going to talk about Deuteronomy, but I would be doing us all a disservice if we didn't talk about this complex gospel today. Jesus has just finished his conversation and continued on about what people have heard in the word and the law. Last week, you may remember, I talked about how what Jesus said was dripping with sarcasm. And today, he moves on to sarcasm and hyperbole. Because I don't think for a second that Jesus actually wants us to scoop out our eyeballs or to cut off our hands. It's not a Punisher graphic novel or Watchmen or whatever people read these days. I don't know. It's Jesus. He goes to the fullest extent. He looks at the law and says, if you take the law and carry it out all the way through, this is what it says, and that's not right. Jesus, again and again in his ministry and his preaching, talks about how we need to re-examine the law to see what it's really trying to tell us. Jesus today is interpreting Scripture for us. He's not saying something entirely new. He's not coming up with things that are going to be written about, except for they're quoting him as he discusses Scripture. Jesus was a traveling preacher, and he was preaching. And the way that he talks about hell in this passage is important to us as well. We heard it so many times. We heard hell more in that passage than we hear in the Episcopal Church the whole rest of the year. But what he's really talking about, if you go and look at the source material, it's more equivalent to a garbage fire. He's saying if you don't want your life to be a garbage fire, figure out a different way to do things. If you want your life to be a little different, there are ways that we can do that. But he's not saying that anyone's damned to eternal hellfire. It's if something in your life makes you feel like it's a garbage fire, cut it out. Cut it off, he says. Get rid of it. If parts of our lives make us feel that something is wrong, that we are wrong or our lives are out of whack, Jesus tells us to throw it away. Get rid of the garbage fire. Now, I don't know about New York, if you have garbage fires out here. I haven't seen one since I moved from Nebraska. It's still a thing in Nebraska. People on the plains, they're not supposed to do it anymore. But supposed to and do are different things, as we all know. Trash collection is hard to come by when you live out in the middle of nowhere, and people just make a pit and pile the trash on in and light it on fire, and it smells something fierce, and it smokes up the sky, and it's unpleasant. That is what Jesus is talking about today. Jesus says, get rid of the garbage fire. And he gives us ways we can do that. Because another thing that we talked about on Sunday, and I wouldn't ever not talk about this part of our gospel passage as being divorced and remarried. I look at this passage and I'm like, well, that's something. And I know many of us in here have done that too. Jesus isn't saying what's on the surface. Jesus is pointing to a law that is both sexist and controlling. Because he says, if any man divorces his wife, give her a certificate. Marriage in Jesus' time, especially in that community, was viewed as a property dispute. A wife no more than a possession of the husband, to be discarded when he felt like it. Be sure to give her a certificate, though, because that'll make everything better. And then our purity culture and the purity culture of the day said, well, if she wants to, you know, survive, or, you know, find somebody that doesn't treat her like a garbage fire, then she's the bad one. Jesus points this out by saying, well, cut off your limbs, that'll solve the problem. It was never going to solve it. Jesus points us to a new way of being. We've seen week in and week out in the ministry and life of Jesus, in his death, resurrection, and ascension, that the love of God has come into the world to give us a view of the law that is different and not so punitive, that looks at people who are different, whether they have a different gender and the law has been treating them differently, or their religion is different, as Jesus helps the Samaritan women around him as well. Sidebar, most of Jesus' miracles are him helping women who have been cast out by the society. So if you think he's really saying that these divorced women are bad, well, look no further than the well, where he forgives someone who got married 7 times without being divorced all the way first, and looked at her with love. Remember that every time where the law says to judge somebody, Jesus looks at that same person and says, I love you. Remember that every time we're supposed to cut off that arm, Jesus says, I like this arm. Your eyes look great today. Don't do anything about that, please. That is what we're to see in this gospel today. And boy, is it good news. And sometimes the newness of a relationship, whether a romantic one for people who have been divorced or a friendship, it brings healing. And healing is the very root of the word we call salvation. Salve. If it brings us salvation out of the garbage fire, then isn't it a blessed thing? And because Deuteronomy speaks to this, because we are a church that has the lectionary and we have several readings for a day, and often they match up pretty well together, I'm going to look at Deuteronomy as well. But don't forget that I talked about the gospel. Remember, if you go out and you see a friend and they said, did you talk about that kooky gospel? We talked about Deuteronomy. You can say, we actually talked about the gospel, and there's good news. And there's some amazing news in Deuteronomy for us too. I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life and choose it abundantly. The original message in this, the Hebrew, I remember it because I had to write a whole paper on it, and I will never forget it in my life because, you know, that's the way those things go. This choosing is very important, y'all. What it actually says is you will choose life and choose it abundantly. God sets before us all these things and says, there are consequences to actions, but I don't believe for a second that our God of love, our God who sent God's only Son to live with us, to learn with us and love us, really reaches into a specific point in time. Wednesday, October 27th, 1997. I have no idea if that's a Wednesday. And says, Kyle did something bad on this day. This will be the moment of Kyle's judgment. And I think Terminator 2 Judgment Day was supposed to be 1997, but it was like July. August, thank you. I just watched the new one and I can't remember already. But looks into that moment and says, that is when you will be judged. I can't, for the life of me, see that being how our God responds to us. In one moment, one flash, one decision, because this message from Deuteronomy, every day you and I have before us choices, and some of them are small. We have to go and we had to decide what we were going to drink with breakfast this morning. And sometimes we think about where that might come from, and sometimes we don't, about who it affects and who it doesn't. We'll go to lunch from here, and we'll have to think about what we're going to eat. What was the cost of creating that? The human cost, the world's cost, and the cost of creation. We will have to do these little choices every day, and then we look at each other and we have to make bigger choices. Will I see a beloved child of God when I look at you? Or will I see somebody that owes me $5? Nobody owes me $5. Will I see someone who I can say I love? Or someone for whom it's very hard? And what will my choice be in that moment? And it goes and it goes, our choices. What is my relationship with that food? We have 12-step programs here every day of the week except Sunday. What is my relationship with that drink, that food, that person? What is my choice each moment? What are its consequences? This isn't a statement about punishment or reward. I feel that God's love is way too complicated for that. It's just a statement of remember to think about those things. Remember that when you look at someone and you choose whether to treat them with kindness and compassion or fear and vitriol, that is a choice that is on you. Yesterday we had the SYC reunion, the summer youth conference, and they came in and we had a great service and we marked the feast of Absalom Jones, who was born in the late 18th century as a house slave in Delaware. Sold to Philadelphia, bought his wife's freedom and then his own, and preached against slavery, and preached against treating each other poorly, and preached for justice, made these little decisions day by day to choose to love a neighbor that didn't want to love him back. You and I are in a complex time too. You and I live in a world where we see our neighbors sometimes, and we can see by the bumper sticker that they have, and we sometimes choose what we're going to believe about each other based on those brief encounters. And I'll tell you right now, sometimes you're going to be right. And sometimes you won't. Because we have to choose in these little moments to live with each other, or to choose to cast each other into the garbage fire. And I don't believe, again, for a second, that God wants any of us there in that garbage fire. He has even reached in and pulled us out. Bless you. Can we choose to reach towards each other in love and grace and compassion and kindness, remembering those things in our lives that made them a mess or still do? And see people for who they are. And care for them as if with the love of Christ Himself. That's the good news today, my friends. Today and all days, we have that choice. What will we choose? Amen.